Kay Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief, Adobe Analytics says consumers spent a record $6.1 billion online on Thanksgiving. That's up almost 9% from last year, but this woman is waiting till today.
Going to do a lot of Black Friday shopping. I have a long list of things I've been tracking to see how the price might change.
Heavy snow will fall in upstate New York between now and Monday. WIVB-TV meteorologist Todd Santos is at the map.
It's going to be a steady, constant lake effect event that's going on over the next couple of days, but I at least want everybody to know that travel is going to become very difficult this weekend.
It was not an enjoyable Thanksgiving for some Democratic members of Connecticut's congressional delegation, says CBS's Nicole Skanga.
At least five Connecticut lawmakers were the targets of bomb threats on Thanksgiving morning, according to officials. Police rushed to the scene of Senator Chris Murphy's home, plus Representatives Joe Courtney, Johanna Hayes, Jim Hines, and John Larson.
DHS warns that swatting often occurs in clusters. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. Work on requests for the state budget is getting underway in December. Terry Barr has the story.
There's a group focusing on the importance of the arts in Wisconsin, and it's getting ready to advocate for more support during the upcoming legislative budget process. Create Wisconsin is a nonprofit based in Madison and trying to expand opportunities in the arts across the state.
It's an investment in people, businesses, organizations, and communities. People are really hungry for that authentic, unique. Mm-hmm. That's what we try to nurture and to assist.
Ann Katz is the director of Create Wisconsin. She says the Badger State remains in last place when it comes to arts funding and support.
Everybody wants their community to be vibrant and healthy and have people visit and live there. And so we try to help people figure out what they need, and then we figure out how we can help them.
A post-election recap and pre-budget planning gets underway next week. Learn more about Create Wisconsin. Go to createwisconsin.org. I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin State Parks are moving to a new 12-month admission pass. Brittany Merlot explains the difference.
It's something that's been available in surrounding states and will now be here in Wisconsin, starting Monday, December 2nd. The new pass, available for purchase, will be valid for an entire year from the day you buy it, when previously all passes expired on
December 31st. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
Even if you bought it just a few months prior in October. With the new pass, let's say you purchase it in February. It'll be good until the following February. The pass will be marked to indicate the month and year in which it'll expire. People are encouraged to save time by buying their passes online. Orders placed online will receive an email receipt with a confirmation number that can be used immediately for park entry. I'm Brittany Merlot for Civic Media News.
And I'm Lisa Hale. For these stories and more, visit civicmedia.us.
The Packers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers won in prime time, 30-17 over the Miami Dolphins. Green Bay jumped out to a 24-3 lead. I asked wide receiver Christian Watson how much the running game with running back Josh Jacobs helped the offense.
This is all 11 when it comes down to running, you know, making sure we're blocking on the outside because, you know, Josh is bound to break one at any time. And then, you know, obviously that helps us, you know, in other scenarios where, you know, they think runs come in, they load the box and we're able to get it out to the perimeter.
The Packers improved to 9-3 and face the Lions next week. The Dolphins fall to 5-7. Are their playoff hopes over? Quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
You know, I wouldn't say the dream's dead for our team just yet. Anything can happen in this league. You know, we're going to watch the film. We're going to look over things that we need to get better at. We're going to come back next week, and we're just going to keep chopping wood.
College football, Wisconsin hosts Minnesota today. The Badgers need a win to keep their streak of bowl game invitations of 22 years in a row still alive. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and breezy today. We'll get to 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 15 to 25. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 15. Tomorrow sunshine 27 on Sunday. Mostly sunny with a high near 30. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 15.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition of the show. We'll look at Black Friday deals and look back at a couple of great interviews of the year. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're tuned into the best of The Earl Ingram Show on Black Friday. Thank you for listening.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States. Here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. And so happy to see my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, have you been able to catch your breath? Have you been able to now look at this thing through a different prism? I guess I want to ask you, if many people we know voted for Donald Trump, I don't know if they voted for Trumpism. And so what we're looking at right now is Trumpism. Look at what this man is professing to do, Dr. Craig. Do you think many of the people who voted for him really expected some of the things that we're going to see?
Absolutely not. If you, and this is kind of the problem with the whole mandate myth, that somehow the vote means that I understand and adopt the entire agenda of the candidate I support. That's a powerful myth. It's been debunked by political science research many, many times over decades. And in this case, if you look at opinion polling, you look at all of the conversations that were had, all of the focus groups, all of the person on the street interviews the media did. No, I didn't hear anyone saying, I want a vaccine denier. I mean, not a large number, that was 20-30% that might have wanted a vaccine denier as head of the Department of Health Services, or a celebrity host, you know, Dr. Oz, in charge of the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and on and on. I mean, Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, would you like a man who still is facing ethics charges for apparently paying an underage woman to have relations with him, as the man to enforce our laws and taking a whole lot of illicit drugs? These allegations are out there. There's now a push to get the actual ethics report released, which I think, no, not at all. And what's going to happen is people will not remember voting for him later if he is entirely discredited. So the game is far from over. I mean, most people didn't remember being big Herbert Hoover supporters after FDR saved the country by making the investments needed in the New Deal to eventually dig us out of the Great Depression, right? And so that's exactly what goes on. Voters made choices based on upset about the economy, about the inflationary squeeze that every advanced country faced since COVID-19. We know that voters indiscriminately blame incumbents for that. And Kamala Harris, despite a heroic effort, couldn't overcome that. And that's why a lot of the kind of punditry going back and forth, if she had just done this and that done that, then she would have won. It's just silly season because it doesn't deal with the underlying tectonic things that drove this election. And it was a very small shift. In Wisconsin, it was a 1.5% shift from Democrats to Republicans. It was not, as the media has misleadingly claimed quite often, some sweeping mandate or sweeping landslide, as Trump has been saying.
Let me ask you, Dr. Craig, you know, you add Linda McMahon for the education, the secretary of, I mean, Linda McMahon has no understanding whatsoever about any of those things. You look at the shamelessness of Elon Musk, Robert F. Kennedy, Gates, and what's the guy's name for defense? I can't pronounce his name. The Fox News guy.
Oh yeah, we know.
Yeah. Each one of those four men, all have been accused of sexual misconduct. Now, here I am. I'm a 70-year-old man, Dr. Craig. Nobody's ever accused me of sexual misconduct. You know, in some instances, you know, if you put yourself in situations, then you wind up in this kind of situation. And so people who have proclivities to put themselves in those types of situations are going to wind up with the allegations and accusations. Are those the best people we can find, you know, to lead our nation? Well, I guess the president himself has been accused. I guess the president to be has been accused of the same thing. So birds of a feather, you know.
Look, they're not, even beyond that, they're not remotely qualified for their jobs. And so ultimately, when you elect a reality star, and that's why Trump is in this position, he's a reality TV star. He's not even a very effective businessman. I think we all know that if we're fact-based. He views it as reality TV, and this is just a programming change. We're changing the lineup, right? The Americans have shifted the channel to the MAGA channel, except this is like the real world. And so it really is. Neil Postman, a communication scholar, wrote a book, a very good book a couple decades ago called Amusing Ourselves to Death. Well, here we go, right? So Pete Hegseth, to make sure our listeners know, Defense Secretary, in addition to what Earl just mentioned, he defended service members accused of war crimes and sought pardons from former President Trump for it. And he doesn't really think women should be in combat. I thought we had that whole debate in the 1990s when Newt Gingrich said all sorts of off-color, awful stereotype things about women. Women have served very effectively in combat, but here we go again.
You know, Dr. Craig, here's a question. I get Gates is a horrible person, but what is the damage a bad attorney general could have on me?
Well, for one, Trump is selecting loyalists who will take his orders. His learning from the first 4 years, he put the wrong people in place and they weren't willing to take on constitutional legal orders. So just hope that any institution you are part of is not targeted in this dragnet by Attorney General Gates, because it will be guilt by association. It will be very much like the old communist witch hunting where, you know, your sister was a member of this group that had some communist association, and therefore your career is destroyed. That is what went down with McCarthy. And that's the kind of thing that's going to go down again. Are you sure that your church, that any civic institution, anything you've given money to, is not going to end up being targeted by Donald Trump and Attorney General Gates? You have no idea.
You know, Dr. Craig, I don't know why people don't think that it should be a concern that this man is making sure that everybody around him caters to him and his thoughts first. And I don't know how you can't think that that's going to be a problem, how you can possibly run a nation if the person has selected people who are only going to agree with him. Maybe the people who voted for him, Dr. Craig, maybe they didn't see this. Maybe they don't see it now as a problem. But it clearly is going to be a problem down the line. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, it's a problem. This is the strongman model, right? So everything is about fealty to the strongman. Now, while very few voters voted for the entire Trump agenda, there are some that did, and some of them call into this show, a number of voters did vote for a strongman. They just thought, you know, democracy isn't working for me. We need more order. And these are folks who have not experienced it, don't know what the dangers are. So that is a grave error to think that entrusting not only any man or woman with this kind of power, let alone this man with his complete lack of understanding of how government or policy or the world works and historical illiteracy and basically doesn't care how it actually works, just thinks he should operate based on impulse. You know, this is like a bad episode of Star Trek where replacement captain is put in and almost gets the Enterprise blown out of space. That's what we're looking at here.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's here. What have you in Citizen Action? We saw Joe Scarborough, and what Joe Scarborough did was, I think, you know, for people who don't know, he set up for 7 years he's been at war with Donald Trump. He and his wife, Mika Brzezinski, on the air. And this past weekend, he made a decision. He called up the incoming president of the United States to break bread with him and say, hey, we need to end this and we need to work together. I'm not saying, Dr. Craig, that people shouldn't heal and that we shouldn't look at ways we can work together. But my God, a man who clearly is taking the nation down a horrible path to change the past, to change the history of our nation and build his own history. That's an inherent danger to that. Why would we say, okay, we're going to be a part of that?
The first stage to authoritarianism is that people with power, established institutions, start accommodating it. And so it's just an act of accommodation. There's been no, there's no common ground with Trump. Trump will accept anyone who shows fealty, no matter what they've said before, and bends the knee. And that's been the whole ritual since he took over the Republican Party in 2016. Anyone, no matter what they said about it, Lindsey Graham, et cetera, can get back in his good graces if they get on their knees and not kiss the ring.
Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. And I will say this on the other side. We are going to talk, Dr. Craig, about the impact of, you know, Linda McMahon as the Secretary of Education on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network. And on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl is joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, to discuss the cabinet selections of President-elect Donald Trump.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest is the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's choice for education secretary. Let's go to the phone lines first. Hey, Brendan, how you doing, man?
Good, Earl. Everybody wake up. Here's what you voted for. And guess what? This is going to turn into Red Dawn real quick when this knucklehead tries to send red troops into blue states to start yanking people out of their houses, okay? So everybody needs to prepare for that first. And all he's doing is assigning people that will tear down the institutions that we've had for years from the inside. That's why he picked Stephanie McMahon. That's why he picked that other rich yacht-owning woman last time to run the Department of Education when he was in 2016, because she wanted to take everything to charter schools so that the rich could pay less for their kids to go to school. This is about oligarchy, and everybody better get ready because the oligarchs are going to think they're running this country. But what the problem is he's so stupid and doesn't realize it, he's going to tick off the oligarchs. Okay, and once he makes the oligarchs mad, and once him and his boyfriend Elon break up, well, things are going to start to fall apart a little bit. But if we all stand around and do nothing, then that's exactly what's going to happen. Nothing.
Hey, Brendan.
It's just going to happen.
Brendan, thank you. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Brendan's thoughts?
Well, he's right. We'll see, because as you can see in the demise of Russian democracy, there's a question of whether the strong man can remain the strong man and control all of the oligarchs, or whether the oligarchs overrun the strong man, right? And it's also the history of monarchies versus nobilities in pre-history before democracy. And so right now there's a weird byplay going on with Elon Musk, who's kind of co-president, but risk at any time offending Trump by getting more attention and credit, but he's the richest man in the world. And then you have all the other acolytes. So the Trump Commerce Secretary pick, who probably matters more than a lot of the others, Trump, Howard, Lutnick is a billionaire, and he's a big crypto guy. So one has to wonder what we do with crypto. Do we abandon the dollar and go on a cryptocurrency? With that, plus the tariffs, he's also given a lot of support to the tariffs and tried to make them seem like good economic policy. So what's hard to know right now, Earl and Brendan, is how much of what Trump has said he actually intends to do, and will these people actually execute the more damaging parts of his agenda? I mean damaging to the whole economy. They're more than happy to damage public health, to destroy education, all of those things. It's not creative destruction. It's uncreative, kind of indiscriminate destruction.
All right, let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what, sir?
After listening to the discussion this morning, I'd like to ask yourself and Dr. Craig, are our guardrails strong enough that we're going to have another election after Trump? I'll hang up. Thank you.
That's
a great question, yeah. I don't think they are, Dr. Craig. I don't think the guardrails.
Tentatively, yes. Now, how aggressive are they going to be? Are they going to now end the filibuster? And are they going to gerrymander Congress? Now, you can't really gerrymander the U.S. Senate because it's two seats per state, but you can further gerrymander Congress so that Democrats can never get it back. The one thing is, the difference between this and, say, the countries that succumbed to fascism earlier in the 20th century, or authoritarian regimes that have risen in other places and recently, like in Hungary, like in Turkey, is there's a lot of federated power. You got 50 states. You got California hardening itself, hiring a lot of lawyers to sue, and it's going to defend its sovereignty. And then it's a real question what purple states like Wisconsin do. It depends how bold the blue part of the leadership's willing to be. But they can't, in one fell swoop, prevent states from having lots of power and having their own elections. So it's unclear. And he really has a two-year trajectory, because if he loses the House, which he's likely to do with this close a margin in his first midterm, then he can't do a lot of the things he wants to do, though he can do a lot more than you think, because who knows what executive orders the completely stacked Supreme Court will now sanctify, now that it's an invented immunity for him and invented a monarchy out of whole cloth, never intended by the Constitution, the writers of it, never written in there in any way, shape, or form.
You know, Dr. Craig, if the Department of Justice is going to be forever changed, he's certainly going to do that. The oversight with the amount of money that he'll be able to make. Let's not kid ourselves. At the root of all of this is Donald Trump being able to get his hands on as much money as he can get his hands on in these 4 years. Dr. Craig, am I sounding crazy?
No, not at all. He tried to act like a kleptocrat in his first term. He is completely financialized his celebrity as a presidential candidate and made a great deal of money, including his social media operation, which should be worth nothing except Trump is there. And that's made him an actual billionaire. And that's what happens. That's what happened in Russia, right? And this is what people need to be aware of. They stripped the country. They raided it for resources. They hoarded it all overseas. They destroyed the basis of prosperity there. Do that to the world's largest economy, you create a permanent global depression like we have never seen. But they're trying to grab as much as they possibly can, like the old fiefdoms in the ancient world.
All right, Texas is on the one step closer, Dr. Craig, to allowing Bible content to be taught in public elementary schools. Next up, Dr. Robert Craig and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. If the holiday season or even the weather has you feeling sad, there is something you can do and a number you can call. Terry Barr has more.
If happy and holidays isn't quite ringing true for you, you're not alone. A recent survey shows close to 40% of people feel extra stressed during this time of year. The best thing health experts say you can do? Check in with others and talk about how you're feeling. Here's Dr. Kristen Lierley.
I see it all the time, and I think that there is a rule of thumb that we can apply across the board, which is ask someone how they're doing and then listen. No, we try to solve their problems. No, it's not your job to solve their problems. It's your job to be their ear.
And Wisconsin has a confidential crisis number you could call or text. It's 988. It offers extra support every day, including the holidays. More than 130,000 people in our state have used the 988 number since it started in 2022. I'm Terry Barr.
Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us what kind of winter weather we can expect this year.
Wisconsin experiences an average of 3 to 6 winter storms during the season, but last season was slow for snow. In fact, tons of businesses suffered with the lack of it, especially in the Northwoods. But things are changing in the weather pattern.
So a weak La Nina tends to be better for that, to keep it snowing that, and frequent systems, the Alberta Clippers, as we say. So a lot of nickel and dime snow opportunities, more frequent cold air intrusions, too.
That's Matt Friedline at the National Weather Service.
Today is Black Friday, but tomorrow's the big day for small businesses. Founded in 2010, the first Saturday after Thanksgiving became Small Business Saturday, an effort to help small businesses gain local support during the busiest of shopping seasons. In 2023, U.S. shoppers spent $17 billion at small businesses on Small Business Saturday. I'm Lisa Hale for Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and breezy today. We'll get to 26 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 15 to 25. Tonight it'll be clear with a low of 15. Tomorrow sunshine, 27 on Sunday. Mostly sunny with a high near 30. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 15.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're tuned into the best of The Earl Ingram Show on Black Friday. Thank you for listening.
In this segment of the best of The Earl Ingram Show, Earl is joined by the campaign for lead-free water.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I am joined by the co-founders of the campaign for lead-free water, Paul Swartz and Dr. Yana Beniti-Du. And so I want to, you know, Tony asked another question, guys, before we move forward. He asked if a Culligan... where is it at? If a Culligan system will do and things like that.
Well, I'll make a short response and then ask Yana to add on. You can't go by the brand. Brands have different types of filters with different certifications for what they'll remove. What you really need to do is look for the dual certification. And just to repeat that one more time ad nauseum, what you're looking for is a pitcher style, faucet mounted style, or countertop style that have the certifications NSF standard 53, along with a claim of lead reduction, and NSF/ANSI or ANSI standard 42. And if those certifications are in the materials for the Culligan pitcher, the Culligan filter that you're talking about, Tony, then that's likely to do the job.
You know, Dr. Yana, is it safe to say, so younger children, newborn children, I don't know if they're tested for lead. If that's something that's done automatically, or if early on in their development and growth and times with their pediatricians, if at any point in time they are tested for lead, or should you suggest those things? Is that an automatic thing that's done now? And are young children more susceptible and elderly people than, you know, the middle-aged people to being impacted by lead?
Right. Well, lead is toxic. It's the best known neurotoxicant that has been studied and is in our environment, and it is harmful to people of all ages. But the populations that are the most vulnerable to lead in drinking water are developing fetuses, infants, especially those who are dependent on reconstituted formula, and of course, young children. The guidelines that have been developed by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and are generally adopted by states across the country focus children's testing at around the age of 1 year old, and then again at the age of 2 years old. And why that is because our national approach to childhood lead poisoning prevention focuses almost exclusively on exposures to lead-based paint, soil, and dust, and therefore focuses almost exclusively on the age where a young human being tends to have a lot of hand-to-mouth activity, right? So touches lead paint chips or is crawling on the floor and then puts hand in mouth and is exposed to lead dust or lead paint. Unfortunately, this testing set of testing recommendations almost ignores lead from drinking water and therefore ignores both pregnant people who might be mostly drinking lead-tainted water and therefore exposing their developing fetus, but also leaves out, the guidelines leave out infants under the age of 12 months. We certainly recommend and encourage people to, to test, especially when people are pregnant or when infants are younger than 12 months old, and certainly when they are dependent on reconstituted formula. But one thing that's really important to know, and this reinforces why prevention and why filtration is so critically important, is that testing of lead in blood can miss lead in water exposures. And that is because the half-life of lead in blood is about 30 days, about 1 month. So if an infant is exposed to even very high levels of lead in water, and this infant gets their blood test 2 or 3 months or 4 after the exposure, it is possible for that test, and actually likely, not to capture the exposure or not to capture its severity, and to communicate a false sense of assurance to the parents.
Let's go to Whistler from Richland Center. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for the call. You say what? Hello, are you there? All right, so let me ask you guys while we... So I've heard people say, if you just keep running your faucet, eventually the lead will work its way through the faucet. I've heard people say, if you boil the water. These kind of sound like folklore, but let us know if these things that some people might buy into, if these things help. Paul?
Those are two common suggestions on how to reduce or prevent lead exposure at the tap. And they're really important for people to understand. In short order, if you, we have learned that to deal with dirty water, what you do is boil the water. And that certainly works for pathogens and viruses and bacteria to inactivate those. But for when you have a mettle in water, if you're talking about a half gallon of water or a cup of water that you're using with your mac and cheese, and you cook or boil it and reduce the water by half, effectively you've concentrated the metal, you've doubled it, right? And so you can't boil away heavy metals from the water, but it's understandable that people have that impression. In terms of running the water, running the water can temporarily get rid of some of the lead, but it also can draw lead. If you have a lead lateral or lead pipe, you can draw more lead into your tap. And you also can take particles of lead or chunks of lead that are stored at the aerator, that little end of the faucet screen. And if you have enough force, you can plop one of those out into your water. And so the key thing is to understand that even if it works temporarily in an hour or in a few hours, or just because some chunk of lead drops off randomly, it doesn't assure that you're not going to have lead in the water that you're using for cooking or drinking.
All right, let's go to Whistler from Richland Center. Good morning. Are you there? Kevin, I don't know. I guess we're having trouble. But I will say to you guys, if you're just joining us once again, on the line, Paul Swartz and Dr. Yana Lambrini do, and they are with Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and they're on with us every Wednesday. Calvin, are they ready? You want to put them on? All right. Hello? Yes.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I used to work for a nonprofit out of Madison called Rural Housing, and we put together pamphlets for the DNR to be sent out to all the school districts regarding lead in water in the drinking fountains.
Yes, sir.
And later on, some of the schools actually replaced their water, their bubblers, whatever you want to call them.
Right.
But I listen to your show a lot, Earl, and I appreciate you taking my call. I also work for a nonprofit that got involved in lead abatement in housing. So, you know, lead has always been a problem for young people. And for people that are looking to buy older homes, make sure they have the woodwork tested for lead inside. That's what I have to say, my input.
Well, that's a lot, and thank you very much for the call. You know, Paul, I'm seeing you shaking your head in the affirmative.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really important. Lead can be in paint, can be in soil, can be in dust. It can come in ceramics. It can come in spices. There's lots of routes for lead exposure to happen. And you can also have synergistic effects, you know, and additive effects from all of these different routes of lead exposure. One of the reasons why we're focused on lead and water is that there's been, as your caller said, so much more information that has gone out about the paint, soil, and dust exposures. And we've had effective bans on lead in paint and lead in gasoline. And in the lead and water space, we had a ban on lead pipes in 1986, but lead continues to be used in interior or premise plumbing. And there's historic levels of lead that are left over from the lead pipes that are in the ground and from the lead solder and flux that join pipes together, or even lead in brass that's in the faucets that we use. So it's really important for when we look at the whole house environment or building environment to look at all of those sources. And unfortunately, often when home inspections are done for lead exposure, they'll stop looking if they find that there's something with lead in paint or soil or dust, and won't look at the water piece. And that's a real problem, because a lot of the health departments are not trained and have heard the bad narratives and the bad advice from EPA and CDC and from the water authorities. And so don't think of lead water as an exposure route or a primary or sole source exposure route for some buildings. And as much as lead, paint, soil, and dust are really, really critical to take a look at, they're in far less buildings than lead and water are.
You know, Tony has just been just really helping us out with some great, great questions. Does the rest of the world, and this is for you, Dr. Yana, does the rest of the world use this much lead? Does China or Europe, European countries have this issue too? We're going to discuss that and more on the Earl Ingram Show.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Hi, everyone. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up, because you could be entitled to significant compensation. We have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-570-0200. That's 800-570-0200. Call now and find out how much money you could potentially get.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
After raising the kids, having weddings, and getting them settled, my wife and I prepared to spend our very first Christmas alone. They were all at the in-laws this year, so we watched old videos of them growing up, went to bed early, and Christmas morning my wife said, "Let's never do that again."
We're on our own again this year, but we're actually looking forward to it because we rented a private vacation home in Alexandria, Minnesota. Lakes, shopping, restaurants, and new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. I've got a kid probably heading off to college in about a year and a half, and I'm doing everything I can to help her build her credit score. Now, one of the tips I was very excited to put into practice is adding my daughter as an authorized user on my most perfectly paid off credit card account. The idea here is that credit card companies report the payment histories of everyone with a card in their name, including the authorized users. That way, your kid benefits from your good credit habits and the length of your credit history and gets a boost to their credit score right out of the gate. Now, the rub is that not all card issuers report all this info, so it's essential to check with your card and make sure they report. And remember, this goes both ways. Good credit behavior boosts scores, but any slip-ups like missed payments or late payments, that hurts them. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
In this segment of the Best of the Earl Ingram Show, Earl is joined by the campaign for lead-free water.
Welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, on Wednesdays, I'm joined by by Paul Schwartz and Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du of Campaign for Lead-Free Water. And so before we go to the phone lines, Tony, once again, this is for you, Doctor. Does the rest of the world use this much lead? Does China or European countries have this issue as well?
Yes, it's such a good question. Lead in drinking water is an issue worldwide. The World Health Organization, back in the early 1990s, issued guidelines for addressing lead in drinking water. The European Union has guidelines. Lead in drinking water has certainly been detected in China, West Africa, and other places. Exactly what the amounts are, what the concentrations tend to be, and how they compare to the United States, I'm not sure. But certainly this is an international problem, not just a U.S.-based problem.
All right, let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. Al, are you there?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You remember back in the 70s when we had all that flooding in the creeks, they told us to boil the water.
Yes.
But no, there was no mention of lead being removed from the water. I have put a Culligan water system in my home, And I heard a little bit of the explanation the doctor gave earlier about those things need additional filters in order to get the lead out. Is that correct?
You want to respond to that, Paul?
Yeah, thanks for that question. And I think the clarification is really important. So no matter what the brand name is, whether it's Culligan or some other brand name, not all of the filters in one brand have the built-in properties, I guess, to reduce or eliminate lead exposures at the tap. And so what you're looking for, and you can go and look at the model online that you have, and sometimes it's hard to find on the website, frankly, is often it's on the box when you go to the box store or your local retailer to buy it, is you're looking for filters that should have the two certifications, NSF standard 53, along with a claim of lead reduction, and NSF ANSI or ANSI standard 42. These are the two dual certifications that will allow you to have some certainty that you're getting rid of dissolved or soluble lead, which is one type of lead, like sugar in or tea or coffee dissolving, and lead particles or chunks of lead from the water that comes through your tap.
Dr. Lembrini, you do two things. One of them is... So I remember many years ago in the city of Milwaukee, the city was giving away filters that you could put on the faucet, in your sink. Are those still, acceptable filters? Do they do the job?
Yeah, these are excellent filters to have if they have that dual certification that Paul was talking about, the NSF 42 and NSF 53 certification. So if they are certified to remove lead, these faucet mount filters are excellent for protection.
And then the other thing that I want is I want the listening audience to know and to be prepared as we prepare to do something even bigger and bolder and broader on this subject here at Civic Media. You were telling me earlier all the different entities nationally that are beginning to listen to what it is we're attempting to do. Would you please repeat those things?
I think that there is generally an understanding by the scientific community, by certainly by communities on the ground, and by even members of the media, that this is an immensely important, serious, and complicated problem with lots of dimensions: scientific, ethical, political, public health, all sorts of dimensions. And so your focus on this issue, Earl, is having many people excited and tuning in and listening now. First time that anybody's looking at this with such depth and seriousness. And thank you.
I thank you guys from the depths of my heart. And we're going to be moving into broader and bigger and better audiences and more information. Thank you. And we'll see you guys in a week.
Thanks, Calvin.
All right. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and more on The Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, it's all about comedy as I welcome Chicago comedian Pat McGann and host of MeTV's Tune In With Me, Bill Leff. And we get a sneak peek at a new show called Wabino Volunteer Fire.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Max Inc. Radio.
We're replaying the amazing live performance from an 11-year-old, plus new music from around the state. I'm Terry Barr.
Saturday and Sunday night starting at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station. CB.